It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 87 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
So Carson, you and I have played a fair bit of X-Wing, and we know a lot of the fundamentals of X-Wing. We know that the primary goal is going to be to destroy your opponent's ships. But to that end, when we're list building, we don't necessarily have to have every ship absolutely focused on maximizing its own damage output. Sometimes we'll include ships in our list that'll help aid other ships to maximize their damage output and effectiveness.
Absolutely. This is a strategy I used in my first ever X-Wing tournament, flying both Kyle Katarn and Dutch Vander to support some B-Wings.
Yeah, and Kyle Katarn and Dutch Vander are great examples of support ships in X-Wing. And a support ship is a ship archetype that's been around since the inception of the game and has been a persistent force, though it's changed a little bit throughout the game's lifespan.
Yeah, so today we're going to give a breakdown of what exactly classifies a support ship and how each of the different factions utilize support ships.
Well, let's get into it. All right, so I think to start off the discussion, when we say the term support ship, I think we need to give ourselves a clear definition of what we're talking about, because there's some nuance here, especially given the great many game effects and upgrade cards that exist in X-Wing, that you want to be specific about what abilities we're talking about here. So we've drawn up a definition for what we would classify as a support ship in X-Wing.
Right, so these are going to be ships that are not primarily focused on damage output, but they're going to offer a beneficial advantage to your side of the board.
Whether that's through pilot abilities or upgrade cards.
Right, and now this is going to be different from control-based effects, which are also not combat-focused, but offer negative impacts to your opponent's squad.
Yeah, the differentiation I'd have between support effects and control effects is that control effects tend to impede your opponent's ability to do the things they want to do, whereas support effects are trying to give you boons and boosts so that you can more effectively fly your squad. Now, to that end, we've got basically five different categories of support type effects that we're going to run through here. The first category is probably the simplest one, granting tokens.
Right, and so this is what I was talking about in the intro of the show, where I was initially flying ships like Kyle Katarn, who has that pilot ability of at the start of the combat phase, you may assign one of your focus tokens to another friendly ship at range 1-3.
Yeah, in that case, Kyle Katarn is passing an existing focus token that he's already acquired, but there are other manifestations of granting tokens, not just limited to passing. You also have abilities like the Fleet Officer, which is an Imperial-only crew card at 3 points, which reads, action, choose up to 2 friendly ships at range 1-2 and assign 1 focus token to each of those ships, then receive 1 stress token.
Right, and obviously focus tokens are great. A lot of great uses on offense or defense, and it's really powerful to have multiple of those within one turn. And so these granting token effects allow you to focus on one or a few ships in your squad and really give them a high concentration of focus tokens.
The second category of support effects would be granting actions. Now, this one's very similar to granting tokens in that you're generally getting the same result, either some sort of action token or some sort of ability. Here they have some nuance that differentiates them from abilities like Kyle Katarn or Fleet Officer.
Right, so we have Aaron Kraken, who, after you perform an attack, allows you to choose another friendly ship at range 1, and that ship may perform 1 free action.
You also have abilities like the Upsilon class shuttle's ability to use the coordinate action, which allows you to choose a friendly ship at range 1-2 and let that ship take a free action. So where granting actions differentiates itself from granting tokens is that granting actions is generally a more wide-sweeping ability. The ship that is being granted the action has a little more control over what it wants to do. Do I want to take a focus? Do I want to take a target lock? But it also has some built-in limitations.
Right, whereas if your ship's already taken a focus action and you want a second focus token, you can't get that through performing a free action because you, of course, can't perform the same action twice in a turn. So that's a case where the granting tokens allows you to get multiples of the same effect. Now, getting both of these effects, either granting tokens or extra actions, are pretty powerful when they're given from another ship in that they can happen at a different timing window. So like with Aaron Kraken giving that action when he activates in combat, you can give another ship that hasn't activated in combat perhaps a target lock to set up a munition attack that turn that it perhaps wasn't in target lock range of its desired target during, say, its pilot skill 2 activation.
The third category of support effects are stress relief abilities. Stress is obviously a very important mechanic in the game and can be very restrictive to a ship if it collects one or more stress tokens. So there are several pretty strong abilities that allow you to mitigate an overwhelming amount of stress, either through upgrade cards or pilot abilities.
Right, so we have the generic Inspiring Recruit crew that allows you once per round when a friendly ship at range 1 to 2 removes a stress token, it may remove one additional stress token.
You also have things like the Lambda-class shuttle pilot Captain Yor's pilot ability, which is when another friendly ship at range 1 to 2 would receive a stress token, if you have two or fewer stress tokens, you may receive that token instead. So in the case of Inspiring Recruit, you're clearing stress tokens outright, given that you're performing some sort of ability that removes a stress token. And in the case of Captain Yor, it actually comes at a cost to your ships, but you have a little more control over where that stress is going.
Yeah, and all these stress relief effects are particularly useful when you're facing down some of your opponent's control effects utilizing stress, where all ships have the innate ability to remove stress with green maneuvers, the ability to either prevent taking multiple stress in a turn or clearing multiple stress effects in a turn, really allow ships to not be hindered by your opponents laying on multiple stress with effects like R3A2 or Rebel Captive.
So our fourth category is defensive boosts. So we see these across the factions here in a couple different examples. The first one we have is one that's pretty popular nowadays, the Lorik pilot ability on the Azatuk gunship. Lorik's ability reads, when another friendly ship at range 1 is defending, you may spend one reinforce token. If you do, the defender adds one evade result.
Right, and there's also options like Sarasu that grants, whenever another friendly ship at range 1 is defending, they may reroll one defense die.
Now, we classify abilities like Lorik and Sarasu as support abilities, whereas we don't classify things like Kanan Jarrus's pilot ability, where he can spend focus tokens to reduce the amount of attack dice an opponent's rolling, because even though they have similar effects in limiting damage output, in the case of Lorik and Sarasu, you're actually boosting your own ships, which makes them support abilities, and in the case of Kanan Jarrus, you're actually affecting your opponent's ability to do things, which makes it more of a control ability.
Right, and obviously these defensive boons are great. Keeping your ships alive and staying on the table is one of the most important things of X-Wing, and so these support effects are generally pretty powerful.
So our last category here are offensive boosts, the inverse of the defensive boosts, of course, and this manifests in a couple different ways. Basically, these are any abilities that allow you to increase the accuracy of your shots or your damage output overall. One of the most prime examples is one of the classic examples of a support ship. We have the Howlrunner TIE Fighter. Howlrunner's ability reads, when another friendly ship at range 1 is attacking with its primary weapon, it may reroll one attack die.
You know what's better than rerolling attack dice? Getting more of them. And Chan Ors allows you to, when another friendly ship at range 1 to 3 is attacking, if Chan Ors has no stress tokens, she may receive one stress token to allow that ship to roll one additional die.
Well, both of these effects are offensive boosts. In the case of Howlrunner, we're not actually seeing the damage output go up. It's just becoming a little bit more accurate with your existing attack dice, whereas Jan Ors can actually increase the amount of damage that your ship's going to do. So those are our five categories for support effects, granting tokens, granting actions, stress relief, defensive boosts, and offensive boosts. And while we generally see these different categories of support effects manifest in all the factions, the way they manifest is a little bit different depending on whether you're flying Rebels, Imperials, or Scum. Hey, Radio TCX listeners. Time for a quick Patreon update. Like I announced last week, in case you missed it, we actually have a pair of new rewards for longtime Patreon backers. If you've backed us for at least 6 months at the $3 or $4 levels, you'll be receiving another set of Radio TCX target locks with a sweet new design. And if you've supported us for at least 12 months, you'll get a third set of Radio TCX target locks with another really cool design. I just mailed out the first batch of these, so a lot of you will be receiving these in the coming weeks, and I plan to mail out another set of them before the end of this week. I know we've still got some tokens that have not been shipped out as rewards yet. My goal is to have those all done hopefully within the next couple weeks here, for sure by the end of this month. So if you haven't received a reward yet, we finally have tokens in hand, so I should be able to get those out to you sooner than later. We'll be announcing our November raffle rewards next week, so stay tuned for that. But if you want to be eligible for these sweet Patreon rewards or for our monthly raffle, please consider becoming a patron of Radio TCX and supporting the show by going to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter today. Now, back to the cast.
All right, so we got a good overview of how support effects breakdown. Now let's look at how each faction utilizes support.
Yeah, so let's look at the Rebel faction first. Rebels are kind of interesting in that I want to say card for card, they probably have the most pilot cards and upgrade cards that would qualify as support effects. That's not to say that all of them are the most efficient, cost-effective, or practical, but I think in terms of the amount of available support effects, I think the Rebel faction definitely is at the top here.
Yeah, if you've ever played an epic game where your opponent gets to use the critical mass of all of their support ships they can field, those effects really compound pretty quickly. But in a normal 100-point game, it's harder to get a lot of support effects on the table. And you really need the best of the best. And here, the Rebels don't have too many standout amazing support options, but they do have quite a lot of options to pick from.
Yeah, especially we saw early on the kind of the first two big support effects came in the form of Garvin Drace in the X-Wing and Dutch Vander in the Y-Wing. Garvin Drace is an X-Wing pilot that has the pilot ability. After spending a focus token, you may place that token on any other friendly ship at range 1 to 2 instead of discarding it. That's actually kind of some funny wording. I feel like probably nowadays they would use the language of after you spend a focus token, assign a focus token at a ship at range 1 to 2.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about the Rebel pilot support abilities is they're all kind of at the pilot skill 6 range. Garvin, Dutch Vander, who after you acquire a target lock, another friendly ship can acquire a target lock. Asiki, Kyle Katarn, Lando's pilot skill 7, but still kind of in that range.
Yeah, so a lot of middling pilot skills, and to a large degree, a lot of these support effects weren't very prominent, or at least when they were prominent, it didn't last very long. And I think a lot of that has to do with the pilot skill portion of the game, where even if you have got some cool synergies from ships like Dutch or Garvin, if they're happening at such a low pilot skill, oftentimes those ships will get removed off the board before they're going to be able to use those abilities to great effect.
Now, in most cases for Rebels, dedicating a whole ship to getting those extra tokens is not going to be generally worth it, just because that support ship you're paying for that mid lane pilot skill, which is generally not worth the investment. And the platforms are not great. We're talking about T-65s, Y-Wings, Hawks. And as the game's progressed, just general upgrade cards you can put on your combative focused ships account for the synergy you can generally get. But there are some fringe cases where, particularly with focus tokens, that these support ships become worthwhile. Looking particularly at like Kyle Katarn supporting ships like Jake Ferrell and Poe Dameron, who have those abilities that synergize off focus tokens, getting that start of combat focus token can get some interesting Jake Ferrell procs on his pilot ability.
Yeah, I've seen some really cool synergies there. This list caught me off guard not too long ago, where I wasn't thinking about just the level of synergies here. I saw a Rebel Hawk on the board, and I thought, oh, that's going to be easy fodder. But the Kyle Katarn pilot on the Hawk has the ability, at the start of the combat phase, you may assign one of your focus tokens to another friendly ship at range 1 to 3. And then that, of course, combined with Jake Ferrell's ability, when he receives a focus token, he can perform a free booster barrel roll. Suddenly, you're getting movement modification that's occurring at the start of the combat phase instead of during the activation phase like you'd normally expect it. And if you're not expecting that, that can really catch you off guard, and it certainly caught me off guard.
Right, and then if you have ships like Poe Dameron with a sensor cluster who just really appreciate multiple focus tokens, all three of those ships together make for a really fun list that if you haven't tried, I recommend you put it on the table at least once. It's a blast.
Now, as we're talking about support ships, I think it's good that we brought up the Hawk 290 because that came out in Wave 3 and was one of, in combination with the Lambda class, kind of the first of the true support platforms where the primary focus of the ship chassis was more about supporting other ships than it was about dealing a lot of damage. Because obviously the Hawk 290 on its own with a primary weapon value of 1 can't do a lot of damage. The Lambda class shuttle has 3 attack dice, but since it lacks the ability to turn around and its hard turns are red, it usually doesn't get that many shots and that many opportunities to do a lot of damage. So we started to see truly dedicated support platforms in Wave 3, and they kind of had a lot in common. Often they had relatively low damage output, barring investing a lot of points into them for turrets on a hawk and stuff like that. They typically have not very good dials, typically not a good selection of maneuvers, a lot of red maneuvers, and often lacking a K-turn, as is the case with both the Hawk and the Lambda class. And they also have access to the crew slot, which is a very important support slot because there's a lot of great abilities across all the factions to support your other ships in that crew slot.
And another great thing about both those ships is that they're costed pretty cheaply, which is nice because when you're trying to include a support ship in your build, you really don't want it to take up too much of your points. You still need to invest in some ships that are going to do some damage. And so having those at an efficient rate, cutting down on the dial, cutting down on damage output, which is not where you want to invest those points, and just getting those support abilities as cheaply as possible is really important.
You can then encounter the problem, though, of since these ships don't have a lot of dedicated damage output, if you end up losing one of your more valuable offensive output ships early on in the game, often these support platforms aren't going to be as effective or nearly as effective in helping you catch up there. I saw this problem a lot with the Hawk 290 early on. It's got a relatively low hit point total at 5, and often not a whole lot of ways to modify its defense, which meant it could relatively easily be removed from the board if need be. And if it was the only thing left, it wasn't that big of a threat to your opponent.
You know what? It's a good thing that the Rebels have some great defense-boosting support ships, like our good Wookiee friend Lorik, who allows him to spend a reinforced token to add an evade result to a friendly ship at range 1.
Yeah, Lorik's come to prominence ever since he was released in the past wave, and he's really proven his worth there in value. It's funny because on its own, the Lorik chassis is very similar to a lot of other support ship chassis, lack of an ability to turn around. The dial is pretty mediocre. It does have 3 attack dice to its credit, which does help boost its damage output considerably just inherently by having 3 attack dice. But yeah, the real value comes in the form of Lorik's pilot ability, where you can spend that reinforced token you take to give an evade result to another friendly ship. Obviously, we're seeing this a lot in Rebel builds where you've got multiple Rebel ships that can kind of defer and control damage and then kind of slowly whittle your opponent down.
Right, but we've seen Lorik be an effective ship outside of list utilizing just its synergy with Big Starglider, but also supporting a Ghost in replacement of Biggs. We've also seen it used well protecting ace ships like Miranda Donnie or Corn Horn, where all these ships are really a big investment in points. Ghosts, you know, can be upwards of 70-some points. Miranda and Corn come in around 50 points. That's a lot of points, and it's nice to have a ship that can really dramatically boost their defense.
Well, and also to Lorik's credit, like I said, the 3 attack dice help a lot. The extra wide firing arc helps a lot. And just having the reinforced token makes it a less desirable target, because if your opponent does choose to shoot at it, you're just going to get the free evades from that reinforced token.
Well, and it also has 2 crew slots, so you can add more support effects if you want. You can add some control effects. Really a lot of different ways you can utilize it.
We talked about the Rebels having a lot of support options, not all of them being great. One thing that's kind of interesting, and one thing we learned by playing actually Epic at the last couple World Championships, is the value of some of these Rebel support ships that aren't so great in standard X-Wing play, but become really strong in Epic play. We're talking about ships like Isigi to K2, the K-Wing that can share its focus tokens with friendly ships, Etan Abbott, who can allow friendly ships to change their hit results to crits if the enemy ship is inside Etan's firing arc, and ships like the ARC 170 Shara Bay, who can share target locks much in the same way Isigi can share focus tokens.
Right, and most of those ships are expensive platforms on themselves, where the cost-to-benefit ratio of including them in your 100-point list versus how many other ships you can have them support, it's just not quite there usually. But in Epic, once you move past that 100-point limit to 200, 300-point games, they definitely become a lot more worth their while in balance with everything else you can take in your list. And of course, Jan Ors is also great in Epic.
Yeah, getting that extra attack dice can make all the difference. Looking at Hawks, though, in standard X-Wing play, it's been pretty rough go for them. They haven't fared so well. I think a lot of that has to do with the low damage output relative to the cost of the Hawk. So often those Hawks with a couple upgrades are going to come out in the low to mid-20s. If you want to get some decent offensive output, as you would with a twin laser turret, you're going to end up investing a lot more points and getting those up closer to 30 points or beyond. And I just don't think that's a good value right now, given the other available ships in that faction. Though I think I actually probably shouldn't talk down on the Hawk, because a Hawk 290, actually a Rebel operative, generic of all things, was in the championship list at the 2017 Polish National Champions, alongside the other great support ship in Rebels right now, Lorik, as well as a Miranda Donnie. So there is something to a Rebel Hawk still, even now.
Well, right, I just lost finals in a sector local tournament, losing to a Kyle Katarn supporting a Rebel Nim. So they're definitely still out there, and in the hands of the player who knows how to use them, get the most value out of them, something that can be worth the investment.
But I think that's enough about Rebels. Let's talk about the Empire, because the way they use support is a little bit different than the other factions.
Right, where the Rebels were linked to their pilot abilities to get their synergy builds, the Imperials have sort of a mixed variety of options. You have ships like Hal Runner and Captain Jonas providing great pilot abilities, boosting your offense. But you also have large base ships able to carry Emperor Palpatine or other great support crew options that the Imperials have.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Imperials have a better mix between their support abilities going across pilot abilities and upgrade cards, whereas a lot of the Rebel support abilities focus a lot on those pilot abilities. There's a pretty big advantage if your support's coming from upgrade cards too, because that gives you a lot more flexibility about what kind of lists you can build. Whereas if you want a certain support ability in the Rebel faction, you're going to have to choose certain ships and certain ship chassis. Whereas if it's just an upgrade card like Palpatine, it could go on a Lambda-class shuttle or it could go on a more expensive Decimator. You've got some options there.
Absolutely. The Lambda-class shuttle is just great for its efficiency and being the cheapest platform you can put the Emperor on. But you invest some more points, you get kind of a mix between a combative ship and a support ship with the Upsilon shuttle, or go even farther and get the Decimator, which is a powerhouse in its own, that can still provide some support to a singular ace.
And it's hard to talk about support without talking about Emperor Palpatine. Arguably the most wide-sweeping support effect in the game, given the amount of different interactions it can affect. So effective that the developers decided that it had to be toned down a little bit in an FAQ not too long ago. But still a pretty powerful effect, being able to change one of your die results, whether that's on offense, defense, asteroid, whenever you're rolling those red or green dice.
With a lot of those like Rebel support cards we read, there's this range restriction, which is inherent with most support cards. They only work within range 1 to 3, or some of them only within range 1. Emperor Palpatine shines in that there is no range restriction. He can be sitting in the corner of the map, and the fighting can be taken place the complete opposite end, and you're still going to get that amazing support benefit.
Well, and the versatility of Palpatine has been kind of essential for the Empire, given that a lot of their ships depend a lot on green dice, which are inherently not as good as red dice unless they get some strong modification. And when you've got an ace like Soontir Fel or the Inquisitor flying around there that doesn't have that many hit points, being able to guarantee at least one evade result on your rolls can make all the difference between those ships staying on the board and getting blown off the board.
Right, and most other supports are locked into, you know, either granting tokens or just being a defensive boost. Palpatine hits multiple categories, usually used on defense, but when the situation requires it, he can be chosen to modify an offense roll as well, making it really versatile. And generally, that versatility makes him worth the investment.
The Empire also has access to some other crew cards that can really boost your support ability. Fleet Officer and also General Hux, by extension, his ability is very similar, is a pretty effective support card. I actually saw a Fleet Officer in a TIE shuttle the other day, which is a strong support platform just by its access to crew slots, backing up 2 TIE SFs so that those TIE SFs were getting double token modification, which proved to make that quick draw a lot more defensible than I would have hoped it would be.
Yeah, and those crew cards come in at just a nice cheap point cost, and especially when you put it on the TIE shuttle, which costs like 16 points at a minimum, you can get a really efficient support ship or stack multiple effective support cards.
Well, and we should talk a little bit more, I think, about Howl Runner, because Howl Runner is kind of the original Imperial support, a very strong ability, and it's kind of become an essential part of TIE Swarms, which have fallen out of favor for a number of reasons over the last couple tournament seasons.
But, mainly bombs.
mainly bombs. That's been a huge part of it. But Howl Runner is an essential. You're not going to really see a TIE Swarm out there unless you've got Howl Runner in that list as well. The ability is just so strong.
Right. Two attack dice usually is, well, vastly is not worth it. It's just not cutting it in X-Wing right now. But with the boost that Howl Runner provides by granting those rerolls at range one, it can take the two attack dice of TIE Fighters and really make them something that lists have to respect that damage output. Howl Runner benefiting just one or two TIE Fighters, not that impressive. But once you get five, six, or seven TIE Fighters all clumped together benefiting from Howl Runner's effect, now that's quite a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, Howl Runner's an interesting ability in that it doesn't have a limited scope in how many ships it can affect. A lot of other ships have a particular quantity of times it can trigger in a round, often once in a round, whereas Howl Runner can affect as many ships as can be within range one of Howl Runner, which is why it's so great in a TIE Swarm where, like you're saying, if it's only affecting one or two ships, that value of that reroll is not very high. But if it's affecting five, six other ships, suddenly that reroll effect is so powerful just because it's getting triggered five, six, seven times.
Yeah, and whereas we talked about Kraven and Dutch with the Rebels have vastly fallen off in their usefulness, Howl Runner has maintained a persistent force. Definitely a very powerful support effect and something that makes the Imperial support stand out. The Imperial faction is also the leading faction in stress relief support. They have Epsilon Leader and Captain Yor pilot abilities providing great stress relief. And this is, like, they just have two pilots, but the Rebels only have the one in Cassian Andor, and Scum have none. Everyone has access to Inspiring Recruit, but, like, the Imperials have just more options. And Captain Yor is a great, you're already taking a Lambda for your supports often. So for just a few more points, you can get that built-in stress relief, which has proven pretty great competitively.
Yeah, I think the only reason that this hasn't been more prominently featured in recent metagames is probably due to the fact that stress hasn't become such a huge part of the game. But actually, when this does pop in, it can be a pretty hard counter to things like Asajj Ventress, who really depend on dealing that stress out to a particular ship.
Right, and it's really nice that the Imperials are the leaders of stress relief because they are the faction that is the most susceptible to stress control, where most of their aces are relying on stressing themselves to get extra actions with Push the Limit. So having a variety of options is very helpful to Imperial players when stress control becomes prominent in the meta.
Now, last but not least, we do have Scum and Villainy, the final faction here we're going to talk about. Scum and Villainy is very interesting in terms of support right off the bat because of just how few support-dedicated pilot cards and upgrade cards there are in this faction. You've got things like Sirisu, the Sick, who allows friendly ships to reroll defense dice, kind of the opposite of Howl Runner's effect over on the TIE Fighter platform. You have a card like Bodyguard, which is a seldom, if ever, used elite pilot talent that is so complicated and hard to pull off that I can barely even remember what that card says.
Can we talk about how trash Bodyguard is for a little bit?
Yeah, let's talk about this card. I remember I was trying to make this work back in the day, and I just couldn't make anything happen with it.
Right. This came out with the Star Viper expansion, which, you know, from release wasn't that well balanced developmentally, except the auto thrusters were amazing. But Bodyguard is a 2-point scum-only elite pilot talent that reads, at the start of the combat phase, you may spend a focus token to choose a friendly ship at range 1 with higher pilot skill than you. Increase its agility value by 1 until the end of the round. Now, of course, increasing another ship's agility is great, but this cost is really steep.
Well, it's got some really weird costing and hard limitations here. First of all, you need to spend a focus token, which is a pretty steep cost. That's basically a full action right there in a lot of cases in order to be able to trigger this ability. The other problem is that you need to choose a friendly ship that's a higher pilot skill, which is a weird place to be given that this is an elite pilot talent and those usually fall on middle to higher pilot skill ships.
Right, and of course it's taking up your elite pilot talent slot, which that sucks. And, okay, you've boosted your other ship's defense. Well, they're probably not going to shoot at that ship, so they're going to shoot at your ship, which spent its focus token, which means its defenses are really down for that turn. So it's sort of like a scum, draw their fire, make my ship a bigs for the turn, except I have to use a focus token to do it.
It's just a little too expensive and a little too difficult to pull off effectively, especially when this card came out. I could not think of any real good synergies right off the bat if they could use this effectively.
You know, if you could use it and have access to a Tawny Mind Link, it might be worth it.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up a Tawny Mind Link, because that is a very important support card for Scum, and it allows Scum to do something that so far no other faction in X-Wing can do. Basically, a Tawny Mind Link allows you to turn any ship with an elite pilot talent into a potential support ship for a turn.
Right. So Scum don't have a lot of support ship options. Their Hawks are all control ships. But with a Tawny Mind Link, you basically each turn, whichever ship takes that focus action, that's going to be your support ship, and it's going to be supporting the other two to three ships in your list. And this worked really well. I mean, this is generating tokens at a crazy rate. If it was just one-to-one, that'd be pretty powerful, where my support ship gets another focus token to another ship. That's the effect of a lot of the Rebel token-generating support ships get. But if you have three or four or five ships with a Tawny Mind Link in your squad, you're getting a lot of added tokens.
Well, and I think even if your squad only has maybe three ships or so, there's still a lot of value here just in the versatility. So let's say you're running something like Dengar, Fenrau, and Inaldra, right? So you've got two really strong ships and a pretty inexpensive ship. Typically, your Inaldra is going to be the Tawny Mind Link focus generating engine. But you might encounter scenarios where, well, I can't really get Fenrau into the position I want him to without making him vulnerable. So I'm going to fly him away, have him be the focus engine this round, and then have my other ships do the work for me. So you can just on the fly make those decisions and have any ship that is in the right position become that focus engine.
Exactly. And there's so many scenarios where either of your big expensive ace ships have just one hit point left. Fen doesn't want to risk that, especially with bombs running around. He's going to get out of the fight and he's going to start being the focus support ship for the rest of the team, where they can just limp away and keep providing that support bonus for the rest of your team. It's just really powerful. Of course, when you combine this with ships that have support abilities, like Manaru, this becomes even more powerful. And of course, Manaru's pilot ability at start of combat to move tokens was inherently really powerful, got reined in to just being able to pass tokens at range one.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most extreme errata changes I ever saw, where we had a ship that had an unlimited range ability shrunk all the way down to range one. Though I think it was probably a pretty fair decision, because Manaru Dengar lists were proving to be pretty oppressive.
Right, and now you can still have that Mind Link plus Manaru getting the efficiency that Manaru provides, and you still get kind of the unlimited range effect when you're using a Tawny Mind Link. So, yes, Scum have sort of limited options, but with Mind Link in existence, they're really able to turn any ship into a support ship. So it'll be interesting to see the future design of Scum, to see if they get more support options or just more great carriers for a Tawny Mind Link.
Yeah, there's a lot of great support effects across all these factions. They've kind of fallen out of favor over recent years as the game damage threshold just keeps getting higher and higher. But if that ever gets reeled in here, then there's a good chance that you'll start seeing a lot of these great support abilities start to pop back up in your local game nights.
Well, there's a lot of powerful support abilities lying in wait. If the right pilot for them to support pops up, any of these could be kind of instantly competitive.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really like the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why others might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Audio Weasel, who said we had a shrewd analysis in a time frame that I can easily fit in.
Thank you, Audio Weasel, and a huge thank you to everyone who's already left a review on iTunes. It really does mean a lot to us. We appreciate it.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.